Wow, thank you, worship band. That was amazing. I really felt lifted into heaven, did you? Lifted into heaven. Because that's where we are. We are raised in Christ in the heavenly realms. If you're a Christian, that's where you are. So all that worship did was lift us into our real position. And it was glorious, wasn't it? A foretaste of what heaven will be like. Of course, there'll be far more to it than that. But boy, that was great. I was really excited about that. Just one request, if you could be as quiet as you can. I'm still not great. My throat's still croaky. But seeing as I only preached for 20 minutes last time and everybody was complaining, I'll preach for 40 this week. See if you complain then. And of course, we're carrying on with our creed. And we're looking at, on the third day, He rose again from the dead. And this follows on from what we'd done before. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day, He rose again from the dead. And that's what we're looking at today. So I'd like to read a passage, if you like to turn in your Bibles, to 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 1. And this actually is the passage that the creed is probably taken from. So we'll just read that together. That'd be good. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 11. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being served, if you hold fast. Did I bring me drink? Could you bring me drink, Jack? Thanks. If you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. Thank you. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep, some have died. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now it's interesting, when you look through 1 Corinthians all the way through, there is some great teaching, some controversial teaching as well. It's not dull and boring, it's exciting. He teaches about the Lord's Supper, about communion and how we should go about having communion together. The work of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, particularly prophecy and tongues. Yeah, He speaks about tongues. And He speaks about the supremacy of love, the context for all those spiritual gifts to operate. It's all great teaching. But suddenly, He gets back to basics. Verse 3, for I delivered to you of first importance. All this great teaching, but He's coming back to what? The gospel. The gospel is of first importance, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. That's our creed, the part that we've been looking at. This is first importance. Don't mean the other stuff isn't important, it is. But this is what it's all about. This is the fundamental. This is the first important stuff that He's teaching about. Now, last week, we preached on the death of Christ, or Trevor did, I wasn't here. What did it achieve? Well, it achieved reconciliation with God through the forgiveness of our sins. Sin, that's wrongdoing, breaking God's laws, separates us from God. And his justice demands punishment. And you say, well, that sounds cruel. But isn't that what we expect? When we see a murderer on television going to court and gets shown to be guilty, do we expect the judge to say, oh, I'll let you go. You look a nice guy. Go into society and kill a few more. No, we expect justice. It's in our natural way of thinking of justice. And yet, why do we object to God exhibiting justice? Yeah? He's a God of justice. And if he did exercise his justice, you would be dead. But God offers us forgiveness because Jesus Christ died for our sins. This is what Trevor was saying last week. And Trevor discussed some aspects of Jesus' death. We're going to come to that big word in a minute. He died as a ransom. A ransom was what you would pay to a slave owner to buy a slave. Yeah, Jesus was our ransom. He paid the price of sin and Satan in our lives and bought us back so that he became our master. He died in our place as our substitute. He took our punishment in our place. Now here's another big word, which you've got to find in your conversation during the next week. Penal substitution. Wow. Penal substitution simply means the penalty for sin, Jesus paid for it as our substitute. See if you can work that in. Of vicarious atonement. Same thing. See if you can work that in as well. And we'll give you a prize next week. Not a certificate. You might have a bag of crisps or something good like that. Not a certificate. So he died in our place as our substitute. And he died as a propitiation. The one, John's one on that one. He deflected the wrath of God away from us so that we didn't suffer from it. All those things happened in the atonement and at the cross. And you've got to say, wow, what a salvation. That God, the creator of the universe, should actually be punished, should actually die in our place, all those things, so that you and I could go to heaven. Wow, creator, can you imagine that, creator of the universe, doing all those things, dying for you? It's amazing, isn't it? And shouldn't we be shouting that from the rooftops? Shouldn't we be shouting that from the rooftops?
Yes.
Of course we should, yeah. With such a great message. I can't understand quiet Christians. Why? Oh, it should be coming out of your head. Anyway, I'm carrying on. Never mind.
You become a quiet Christian.
Am I a quiet Christian?
I hate clever clogs.
How much have you missed? How far back do I have to go? Yeah, all right. I'm just getting into that. I could say that again. Oh, I can hear myself now. That's brilliant. Right, where were we up to? Yeah. Think of ways where you could quickly present the gospel in any situation. That's what we can do, and that's how we can start talking productively about our Lord and Saviour. Because it's a great message. Now this week, we're moving on from the death of Christ to the resurrection of Christ. God raising Christ from the dead. So we've heard so much about this glorious salvation, haven't we? You know, shouldn't we concentrate on this? Why is the resurrection important? You think, yeah, well, God did it all through Christ. Why do we need to know about the resurrection? Well, it's actually interesting. If I just read verses 17 and 19 to 19 from Paul's letter, 1 Corinthians 15. And he says this, and if Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Wow. Then those also who have fallen asleep, that's those who have died in Christ, have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Wow. The resurrection is important. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our sins have not been forgiven. No matter what we've said before about the cross. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then neither will we. We will perish eternally. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then we are to be pitied above all people. And if Christ did not rise from the dead, then our faith is futile and worthless. So now, this is a big, important question. Did the resurrection happen? Yeah. And how do we know that it happened if it did? Well, actually, there is so much evidence to support the claim that Jesus rose from the dead. If you're of my age group, you'll know a book by Frank Morrison, Who Moved the Stone? If you can get hold of it, it's a brilliant book. He was a famous atheist barrister, didn't believe in God. And he realised that if you destroy the resurrection, you destroy Christianity. Yeah, it's futile, we're to be pitied. And he decided to read a book debunking the resurrection. He gathered all the evidence that he could find and started to write this book. And he called this book, Who Moved the Stone, the book that wouldn't get written, that wouldn't be written. Because he came to the conclusion that if all the evidence were to be presented before a court of law, for a jury, then they would have to find that Jesus was guilty of rising from the dead. Isn't that interesting? An atheist. He was an anti-Christian. Didn't like Christians. Was after debunking it. He was an atheist. He had no sympathy for Christianity. And he was a barrister, so he was used to sifting information and making pronouncements and expecting judgments from a jury. For me, that's pretty convincing. There have been many books written on that subject since Frank Morrison. I think Lee Strobel, The Case for the Resurrection, was one. Josh McDowell, somebody else. Look for these books. They will do no end of good for your confidence in salvation. So we've not much time. I'm trying to get under 40 minutes, forget. Don't worry, forget. Let's look at quickly at two pieces of evidence. The first piece of evidence that Frank Morrison found was the changed lives of the disciples. The Jesus who they thought would raise up an army, the Jesus who they thought would conquer the Romans, would be a conquering king, he'd just been killed. They'd backed a loser. All they wanted to do was forget about the old silly fiasco. Yeah, they felt we've been idiots. Fancy us believing that Jesus. Let's just sink into the background. When Jesus died, their cause had died. You know, but something changed. Something changed. Shortly after the crucifixion, Peter bravely confronted the powerful Jewish ruling body with the message that Jesus had risen from the dead. Just let me read Acts 4, verses 8 to 12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man," he just healed somebody on a Sunday, I think it was, "by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified," and he's talking to the Jews here, "whom you crucified and God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is no salvation in anyone else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is Peter talking to the Jewish authorities. This is the Peter who a short time before that had denied knowing Jesus three times. Even when confronted by a young girl, he denied knowing Jesus. And suddenly standing before the ruling authorities, filled with the Spirit, there was something changed in his life. Peter had seen the risen Lord Jesus. Their cause had not died with Jesus because he was raised again. And you know, all the apostles bravely died, according to history, violent deaths because of their insistence that Jesus was alive. Something had changed. They'd actually seen the risen Lord Jesus, so much so they were prepared to die for it. You might say, well, many people have died for a cause they believed in. But you know, when Jesus was crucified, their cause died. There was no cause anymore. It's hardly likely they would face all painful deaths for proclaiming something they knew to be a lie. So the changed lives of the apostles is 100% confidence that they had seen the risen Lord Jesus. Anybody know A.N. Wilson? He's a famous historian and journalist. Writes for the Daily Mail, so it must be true. And he wrote this a few years ago. He became an atheist and then became a Christian again because he considered the resurrection. He said this in the Daily Mail. We can easily dismiss Easter. That's the death and resurrection of Christ. We can easily dismiss Easter as a fairy tale, especially if we hide from ourselves the uncomfortable fact that the first men and women who claimed to be witnesses to Easter were prepared to be tortured and to die horribly rather than deny the risen Christ. See, only the resurrection fits those facts, nothing else. We can have confidence that the resurrection actually happened. And the second point, he goes on to make loads of points, but this is one of the, I think the second one. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 6, I'll read it quickly. For I delivered to you as of first importance, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. 500 eyewitnesses. Paul's saying, if you don't believe me, there's 500 people over there. Go and ask them. Most of them are still alive. There's hundreds of them still alive. Ask them, and they'll tell you that Jesus was raised from the dead. And we need to remember that Christians were hated by the Romans. We know that. They were the followers of a man, the Christians, who claimed to be a king. He claimed to have raised himself from the dead. That was a big threat to their power. Christians were hated by the Jews, who saw Christianity as a false and dangerous cult. Most people in those times hated Christianity and hated Christians. Most people at that time would have been happy to have seen Christianity destroyed. And they knew that the resurrection was the foundation of the faith. Disprove the resurrection and you disproved Christianity. And they would have needed to have done, all they would have needed to have done was, one, produce the dead body of Christ, and two, prove that what Paul was wrong by showing that there actually were no eyewitnesses. He's pulling a yarn here. They could have shown that, they would have disproved the resurrection. But it wasn't destroyed, Christianity, because they couldn't find the dead body of Jesus Christ, and no one could disprove Paul's claim. Go on, ask why eyewitnesses. There's 500 of them. Ask them for yourselves. They couldn't disprove what he was saying. And you know, secular historians would see an appeal to eyewitnesses in a hostile environment as being a very positive pointer to the truthfulness of any statement that was made. And we can be confident that Paul's claim that Christ rose from the dead was actually true. Professor John Lennox, he's the professor of mathematics at the University of Oxford, and fellow in mathematics and philosophy of science, and pastoral advisor at Green Templeton College. He's a clever man. See, this is not Reverend Eric White, two A-levels and thrown out of university for drinking too much. That's not who this guy is. He's a clever guy. And he says this. In his debates with atheists, have you seen any of a debate? He does great debates with atheists, with all the famous ones, and comes out on top, in my opinion. A great debater. And he clearly says, in every debate I've heard, he's clearly said, my faith is not blind. My faith is based on evidence. And he's referring to evidence that supports the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we can say with John Lennox as well, my faith is not blind faith. You know, I'm not just some hurry-furry thing, you know, I believe it because it's nice. It's based on strong evidence that the resurrection happened and Christianity is actually true. The most important evidence is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So these are our options. If Christ is not risen, close down SVC and CCP, all churches. I could be at home now watching England playing rugby union. Hopefully thrashing Italy, but I don't know. I hope so. Let's stop the charade. Let's get all those preachers off the radio and TV. Maybe we should anyway. But anyway, that's passing on. Let me get out there and enjoy this one life. This is what Richard Dawkins says, doesn't he? Non-stop drinking, dancing, having fun. Up. Well, wherever you go, drinking and having fun. If Christ is not risen, our faith is futile. That's what we might as well be doing. But if Christ is risen, the world needs to know. And I need to live as though I am a part of that risen, conquering King, because he lifted me up to heaven with him. I need to set my things, my mind on things above, not on things below. See, as much as I like England Rugby Union, it's nothing compared with Jesus Christ and his saving grace. The reality is, I was bought with a price. Yeah, grace is free, we said that over and over again at SBC, but it was very costly to Christ, wasn't it? He was killed. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. I need to give Christ everything I've got. If the resurrection is true, I need to give Christ everything that I've got. Christ has got to be my priority in everything. I must be 100% committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it follows, doesn't it? If the resurrection is true, Christ was crucified for my sins. Saviour of the world, creator of the universe, did all that for me, then how can I not come to SVC on a Sunday afternoon? Because England are playing. I'm a bit tired. You know, he deserves better than that from his people, doesn't he? He deserves 100% commitment. Let's just remind ourselves of what we believe about Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to hell the third day. He rose again from the dead. Proven. Hallelujah. No way out of it. Stuart Briscoe, great Christian pastor and author, he wrote this. I believe it with all my heart. Therefore I am going to stand firm. Therefore I'm not going to budge. Therefore I'm going to keep going until I drop. You know why, don't you? Because if Jesus Christ is risen, that's where the action is. So if you want action, stand firm in Christ. Make him 100% of your life. Life will never be boring. It'll be hard. It'll be difficult. It'll be exciting, all those things. Never, ever boring. It's a place to be because that's where the action is. And finally, I just want to read from 1 Corinthians 15, 30 to 34. Why are we in danger every hour? This is Paul. Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. not literally die, obviously, but he had a difficult life. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts in Ephesus? Yeah, not literal beasts. They treated him very, very badly. He said, I fought with beasts. What do I gain? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. So if you're not 100% for Christ, if you're flaunting with the world in terms of bad morals and so on, don't be deceived. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. Turn away from your sin. Be 100% for Christ. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. That's interesting. For some have no knowledge of God. What's he saying? There is some people out there who have never ever heard of Christ Jesus. And he's saying, that's to our shame. Yeah, we've not publicised the good news of Jesus Christ. No matter how good the news is, we've failed to do it. And Paul says, I say this to your shame. Because for many, many people out there, the only Jesus they've seen is me, is you. And if we're not reflecting the risen Lord Jesus in our lives, then they won't see the risen Lord Jesus unless God performs a miracle. So let's be committed to be risen Lord Jesus Christians, 100% committed, 100% loving, 100% sacrificial in our lives, 100% loving and caring for people who need caring for. Let us show the risen Lord Jesus in our community. And let's be a church that grows, a church that is a community of believers in the risen Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you that you, as a creator of the universe, sent your son to die on a cross. We thank you that you raised him from the dead so that we might be raised from the dead too, Father. That we might be risen, Lord Jesus, Christians. So we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.